We're speaking now with David Keyes. He's the newly anointed president of the Sandpoint Rotary Club. David, anointed is the correct word to use here.
Is that the correct word? I think it's you miss one meeting and you become president, Chris.
Okay. That's the way it works with a lot of nonprofit groups, I know. We're also speaking with one of the Rotary Club's lead organizers for the upcoming Chafe bike ride, Mel Dick. Mel, thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
And you may not want to do this, but we're going to get into the Chafe ride in just a minute. But first, I want to mention that, Mel, you are the District Rotarian of the Year. And David, as president, can you tell us what that distinction means for Mel?
Well,
or for the club, too?
The biggest thing, I would think, is that for 55 years, we've never had a Rotarian of the Year for the district. And this district encompasses the United States and Canada. It's not just here. It's everywhere on this region anyway. So it's quite an honor, especially during a pandemic year when a lot of clubs were kind of cutting back, not doing as much. Mel decided to go for a bike ride and went across the country and donated all of the money to our youth services. And that was huge. I mean, that was something that nobody else obviously had done. And a few other things jumped up too. Ken Wood, our former president, wrote just a great letter about what Mel had done. And I'd heard from district folks that it wasn't even close. I mean, Mel just led by example like he always has. And it was just great to have that recognition for our club and for Mel, who's very humble about it all. Hates it when I bring it up, so I try not to bring it up very often.
I know. Mel actually warned us off this subject before we got started here. But Mel, congrats on that. And by the way, I want to mention the ride you mentioned. That was your second ride across the country to raise money, right? Because you did the ride for education in
2008.
Yes.
And we raised, that one, we raised over $25,000. And if you recall, Chris, we started the Ready for Kindergarten program that year. And that helped us kick off that program that the Panhandle Alliance for Education still does to this day.
Yeah. Come on. Great stuff, Mel. Thanks for all you do here.
Absolutely.
And let's get to the main subject today. We want to talk about a bunch of the things that is going on with Rotary, but really we want to focus down on the Chafe bike ride that is coming up on September 11th. Let's pretend somebody out there doesn't know what the Chafe ride is. Mel, can you tell us about the Chafe?
Well, the Chafe ride started, this is our 14th annual year of doing the ride. It started was started by the Panhandle Alliance for Education. And Chris, you and I sat on the board at the same time. And it's always really been about education for the first 14 years. It stands for Cycle Hard for Education, and Chafe is a terminology that most bike riders will know about.
All day in the saddle?
All being in the saddle, yes, you get a little chafing. And in, I think, 8 years ago, PAFE turned the ride over to Rotary. And Rotary, quite frankly, is maybe better equipped to do the ride. It takes a village to put this ride on. So there's six nonprofit organizations involved, probably at least 150 volunteers. We work on it all year long. And Rotary's kind of a natural for that. We've got 100-plus members. Most of them get involved in some fashion on this. Rotary's got a lot of connections into the community from a sponsorship perspective, and we've been able to kind of take the ride to that next level once PAFE got it really established and kicked off.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a ride. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's different distances now. I saw it a ride for the faint-hearted because when it started out, it was positioned as a 150-mile ride with one 80-mile segment that you could do if you couldn't bite off
for the wimps.
Miles.
The wimps could do 80 miles, but the real men and women could do 150.
Yeah, the first year was 150 miles.
Yeah.
And if you recall, Brad Williams, who's is in Rotary, who's really
he's one of the co-founders,
founder of this ride. You know, he really wanted to create an elite ride for elite riders from all over the country. Then we went to the 80-mile route for those that would bite off half of it. Now we've got the 150, 100-mile route, an 80-mile route, a 40-mile route, and a 25-mile route. And the last time we did the ride in 19, we added a family fun ride. This year, because the ride is going to take place in September, not June, after school's out, we decided we'd stop doing the fun ride this year. We'll bring it back next year when we go back to hopefully in the post-pandemic environment of being able to do the ride again the third Saturday in June.
Yeah, that fun ride for the family in 2019 was a great success.
It was. It added roughly 80-some parents and kids rode in it, and they had a blast. They really had a blast. Mm-hmm. And we had a breakout year that year in terms of riders. We always were at that kind of 250, 225 to 250. And in 19, you know, we were over 500, of which, you know, a little bit less than 100 related to the family fun ride. Mm-hmm. This year, we're kind of on track, a little bit below where we were at this time in 2019. My guess is we're going to end up right around 300 riders or so. Mm-hmm. You know the local riders, and many ride it locally. This is Sandpoint. They don't really register early. And I think a lot of people are still kind of waiting to see what's going on with the pandemic and, you know, frankly, what will fire season maybe be like.
And there's some competition now, too. A lot of the events that were in the summer or spring have all moved to the fall now, too. So we're seeing more rides about the same weekend or nearby as well. So there might be some competition for Spokane riders, perhaps. Even Coeur d'Alene riders, there's some competition there. So Mel's been trying, and we've been trying for years now, to have that circle get wider, attract more riders, and bring in the better, more competitive riders, too. It's a great ride. As you know, it's beautiful. It's fun. It's just a great way to, good excuse to get in shape. You know, I've been a rider a couple of years now, many years, actually, on that. Not like Mel, don't get me wrong.
You are saying you did the 150.
I did way back when the first, third year. Yeah. But Mel broke his neck 1 year and finished the ride. So, I mean, how do you do that? Well, how far were you when you broke your neck?
We were about 30 miles
into 30 miles into a 150-mile ride, and he broke his neck and finished the ride. I don't know.
That's grit.
And, Chris, you've ridden it.
I've ridden it, yeah. I've ridden the 80-mile route, I think, three times. 1 year, it rained like the dickens.
That's right.
And to tell you the truth, that was the most fun I had. Soaking wet.
Soaking wet.
But it was, you know, it wasn't cold, you know, and it was really a gas to be cycling in the rain. And then by the time the afternoon rolled around, we were approaching Sandpoint, it cleared off and it was beautiful. So, that was a memorable ride. But I will say also, in 2019, I had the chance to do two 15-mile conditioning rides. So I thought, okay, I'll dial it back. I did the 40, and that was a great ride, too. Mm-hmm. But why don't you describe the routes for these different distances?
Yeah. So the 150-mile route starts in Sandpoint, and it's a grand loop, basically into northern Idaho, western Montana, comes down the Bull River after you go through Troy, Montana, and then back up along the Clark Fork River and along the lake back into Sandpoint. The 100 and the 80-mile routes, they start in Troy, Montana. So you have breakfast at the beach, get in a bus, we take your bikes over there, and then you start the 100 and the 80. The difference in 20 miles is the 100-mile joins the 40 and the 25-mile routes that are out into Selly Valley, and it comes back on those routes as well. The 80-mile route just comes back on the 150-mile route. So they're all integrated routes. They all really start at start and finish at City Beach for a grand party right on the beach. People have a blast at that party. We have a great after ride meal. Mm-hmm. We have fun announcements going on.
Cerveza,
some wine, and it's a community-wide party. So it's not just for the riders and their families. It's for the entire community. And, that's really a goal of ours, is how do we get more people in the community to come down and really celebrate these rides that these riders are doing? It's just a phenomenal time. Mm-hmm. And it's the highlight. When we do our surveys, it is the highlight, and it's been the highlight from day one of this after-ride party that takes place down at the beach.
Yeah, couldn't ask for a better venue for that.
Was there a change in the course this year, maybe, though?
I should mention that. We've changed the course on the 150, the 100, and the 80-mile route, where when you come off of Highway 56 out of Montana and go down the Bull River there, you turn onto Highway 200, and in previous years, we rode all the way into Clark Fork and Highway 200. We're now getting them off of Highway 200 because there's a new paved road on the other side of the river as you cross that bridge to go over to Heron, Montana. and it takes off about 10 miles or so of a stretch of the road that frankly didn't have much of a shoulder on it. And I won't say it was dangerous because we had it well marked and there's a lot of safety in numbers, but it's going to make a lot more enjoyable ride. And it's actually beautiful on the other side of the Clark Fork River.
Yeah, I've ridden the other side of the river, and it's a gorgeous ride. There's almost no traffic there.
And, you know, not many people have, so that might be a neat thing too.
Some people sure. discover it that way. So one more touch on the routes, and that is the 25 and the 40, they depart City Beach, and then they go into Sully Valley.
Yep. They depart City Beach. They go up. We get an escort out of town. They go up Highway 95 to Sully Valley Road. They go over by Northside School, ride to the Pack River store, and a little bit past that for the 40-mile ride. For the 25-mile ride, they ride to Northside, and then they come back into town. And the 40-milers join up with the 100-milers, and then they join up with the 25-milers.
And all these routes have really beautiful sections, and that Sully Valley section is
Isn't it
gorgeous.
Nice rolling hills.
It is gorgeous. And, you know, in June, what's really great about it in June is you see the snow-capped mountains. Mm-hmm. You know, this year, we could have snow in the mountains.
Who knows? It is North Idaho.
Let's hope.
So how does this raise money?
Well, it raises money through two real sources. First of all, our sponsors. And we have the most incredible sponsorship base than you can imagine. It's like everything we do in Sandpoint, especially as it relates to education, the community turns out for it. Our presenting sponsor this year is Lice House Foods. And we have different sponsorship levels below that. We've got a gold level, which includes Like Media, Gary and Julie French, Kachava, Remax, Timberline Helicopters, and Ting, and they are at the $5,000 to $10,000 level. We've got a whole ton of silver sponsors. It's almost too many to read, but if you bear with me, Chris.
Do it.
The 219 Lounge, Ponderay Mechanical, KPND, Williams & Schiller, Trinity at City Beach, Bonner General Health, Greasy Fingers, Bonner County Daily Bee, Alana Westfall, Washington Trust Bank, Sandpoint Living Local, Jason Duco Photography, Clearwater Gear, Arby's, Hendrix Architecture, Sally Valley Construction, Winter Ridge, Keoki, thank you, Chris, Norm Ettinger, Edward Jones, and Parker Subaru. And many of those are cash sponsors. For those that aren't cash sponsors, we get in-kind sponsorship and donations, and it's an amazing amount of money. We actually probably, if we had to pay for everything, we wouldn't raise the kind of money we raise. The other source of money is really from the ride itself. The riders have registration fees. I think the registration fee is $75 unless you registered early. For younger riders, 16, it's 50. And then if you're riding the 25 or the 40 mile, it's a lower rate than the 75. Mm-hmm.
And those are actually, as these sorts of events go, that's actually a low entry fee.
It's a very reasonable entry fee. We do require every rider to raise a minimum of $50 towards the cause. And the major cause is the Lake Ponderay School District After School Reading and Literacy Initiative and other Rotary kind of youth services kind of activities. So that's the major source of it. Last year we raised a little over $70,000. Because our sponsors have been so generous this year, we have a bigger goal. We're hoping to maybe make that six figures at some point in time.
Yeah.
And we may have expenses this year, too. Last year, we had
no expenses.
Yeah. Yeah,
we actually had a little bit.
Oh, that's true.
We had a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we had some marketing costs and
that's
things like
true.
That.
Okay.
So along with the entry fees, riders are encouraged to get donors.
Yes.
And there's some prizes for riders that get the most amount of donors to chip in on the ride. And I'll say as a rider myself, a good way to do that is to throw the challenge out there to your friends or coworkers or whatever. Hey, I'm doing this ride. Will you kick in a certain amount per mile that I'm able to bite off?
Didn't Billie Jean do that years ago, too?
Billie Jean.
Remember, she was pretty good about making the competition part of that.
Yeah. So, and some of the riders are bringing in 1,000, 1,500. I know one did 1,500 in 2019.
We've had riders that have done up to almost $5,000. And you get a free bike if you get to that $4,000 level. So there's great prizes. Greasy Fingers helps us with that. So it's really
yeah.
for...
Yeah, so riders, if you're right. going to do the ride, leverage that into some donations for the cause that this is put on for.
You know, one thing that's forgotten about a little bit in all this is how well supported the race is, too. There's rest stops along the way, and different groups they sponsor the rest stops to make sure they're the coolest ones, the best ones, and all that. And also, if you happen to have a flat tire or mechanical issue, there's support groups out there. And so they'll be on a motorcycle or whatever else, you'll call them or whatever, and they show up and they help fix you, and you're back on your way. So it's really well supported, probably one of the best supported races.
Yeah, we get a lot of kudos on the support for the ride, the rest stops, especially with the competition that takes place with the rest stops. Over the years, we've been named a top 10 scenic ride in the country. Several years ago, we were named the number 3 charity ride in the country by Bicycle Magazine, mm-hmm. which is the premier
bicycling magazine. Yeah, that's very cool. Okay, if somebody is listening to this, they're inspired, they want to try the ride or at least check it out, what do they do?
Well, the first thing and easiest thing to do is go to chafe150.org and check out our website. You can register online. That's the best way and the only way, frankly, to register. It has all the routes on there. It has the cause on there. It has all kinds of questions. There's probably some information on there as well relative to a training schedule and things like that.
Okay.
Oh, and I might add, the best thing to really learn about the ride and have fun part of the ride is this coming Thursday, July 15th, from 5 to 7 p.m., we are having a Chafe 150 happy hour at Matchwood Brewing. And we will have raffle prizes. We're raffling off a bike. We're raffling off an inflatable paddleboard and some other goodies. There will be snacks, food, and at 7 p.m., Truck Mills is playing.
And that is tonight, as folks are listening to this.
Exactly. Yep. Right.
So
yes.
Unless you're listening to it later on and streaming later on.
Yeah.
So you missed it if it was. And it was a great party. You missed the epic party. So
yeah, it's too bad. I can guarantee you that much. Okay, we have just a few minutes left, but I wanted to circle back on other things the Rotary Club has going. David, why don't you fill us in? I know that the Rotary Club has taken an interest and been putting out some really nice support for the Pine Street Woods. That's part of the Kinnickswee Land Trust.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. It's been great. In fact, you gave me one of my first tours up there way back. And it's always been near and dear to our heart, too. Rotary wants to leave an impression. We want to make a difference. And in our world, Pine Street Woods right now is kind of like that, almost like that Central Park in New York. It's that it'll be there forever. Sandpoint's growing. Dover's growing. This is always going to be there. And we thought it needed some of our support along with everybody else. So we raised awareness in our club. So last year, President Ken Wood said, I'm going to kick in money from my presidential money to make this happen. So I matched him at coming with my money for my year. And then also last year we did the Rotarian Trail. I think it's all about done. I have not been on it mm-hmm. since it's been close to being.
I haven't been on it since completed, but I worked on it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that was an all hands on deck type thing too. And now we're working on the Visitor Center. And that'll be a huge one for us too. So we're working with Colin Biggs and some people to make sure that is going to be representative of what we want. But we look at Pine Street Woods as a place where families can go. And that's what Rotary is all about too, trying to find family experiences, helping our youth. So that falls right into what we try to do. So we're excited. We're going to have a party Wednesday night up there to kind of show it off to our members who haven't been up there. And unbeknownst to anybody other than a few of us, we're going to announce the fact that we're going to do a time capsule up there with part of the finishing off the Visitor Center. So we're going to work with Kinnickswee Land Trust, Rotary, and whomever to have a cool time capsule. In fact, somebody already said, this is what committees do, let's have two time capsules. Let's have one for 50 years and then one for 100 years below that so they can open up the 50 and we'll all still be around, especially Mel. And then 100 years, you know, we'll have messages from the public. We'll have all sorts of cool things. So watch out for that. We're looking forward to that. We'll plant that with part of the Welcoming Center, and it'll be cool.
That sounds like you just released some breaking news.
Breaking news. There it is. There you are. What do you think, Mel?
It sounds great and a surprise.
I told awesome. You I had something for you. I tried to surprise
you. So, are you, what are you going to put in the time capsule? Have you figured that out yet?
Well, pictures of David.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to invite the public to send messages to the future. What do they think life is like here now? And what do you think is going to be like 50 years, 100 years? And how does nature, Pine Street Woods, our community fit into that? What's your vision for the future? And I think we'll find some media partners to help us get the word out on that. And we'll just encapsulate it. I've done one time capsule before, and you use like PVC pipe, just a huge round PVC pipe. You seal it all in there. You put a little silica just in case. And you sink it. You put a little concrete above it. You put a little dirt. You don't put a sign there for about 5 years. Let it grow up around it and say, nearby here is a time capsule that was planted, da-da-da-da-da. And then the future, they open it up and say, that's pretty cool.
So. Or some archaeologist in a million years finds it.
Because we'll forget about it and say, holy smokes. And I'll be the first to write $1 million check for it, too. I'm excited about that.
Okay. Yeah, write a check for it.
$1 million.
Put it in there, and they'll try to cash it in 100 years. You bet.
So stay tuned for that. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about that.
So we are just about out of time. Anything else you want to mention from Rotary or about CHAFE?
Well, we invite people to become part of Rotary. We have 108 members strong now. We're still growing. We actually grew through the pandemic. It was an odd year for us. I give kudos to Ken Wood. I mean, we had most of our meetings on Zoom. And how do you grow an active club on Zoom? But we found ways to do it. We had some members wear underwear on meetings just for fun. We would try to break it up a little bit to have a little lightheartedness. But the cool thing was, too, we could have speakers from all over the world there, and we had a few that was pretty cool. But we also had one of our founding members who hadn't been live to a meeting for probably a year or so prior to that, Jack Parker. And all of a sudden, guess what? He started showing up to our meeting because his daughter would go over to his house, set him up on Zoom, and there's Jack commenting on things, being a part of our club again, and our only living founder now. And it was just awesome to see that connection. You know, you try to find good things out of bad things. That was a cool thing, to bring him back live to our club. It was really cool.
So if people are listening to this, they say, hey, I'd like to engage with Rotary. Is there...
Get a hold of Mel Dick, 219. We would love to see you at our Rotary meetings. We meet Wednesdays at noon at Tango. I would like to hear about it first, perhaps, to invite you as one of our guests through our membership committee. That would be awesome.
Right. And we should say that if you're going to be a member of the Rotary, you're going to be expected to contribute time and energy thing. It's not just an honorary deal. I think the people, as I observe, the Rotary Club, there's a lot of doers in there.
There's a lot of doers, but there are people who find their own way. And what we find out is people sometimes, and this is a national thing, they join for what they call connections, but they stay for the friendship and the real connections with people. We have plenty of activities. You know, we're working on like the cabin right now at the museum. We're redoing that, and that's a pretty cool project. We've got other projects that are always hands-on. We help with the firewood rescue. Mel is a big part of that as well. So there's always things to do to stay busy, but we also do a lot for education. We also raise a lot of money. This next year, we're gonna have $20,000 in scholarships to our local graduates. Rotary International in the United States gives out the second highest amount of scholarship dollars next to the U.S. government. So U.S. government, Rotary. So we know what our future is. And as you well know, too, we have all the exchange programs going and all sorts of different levels for different people. You can find something for everybody there. If you're not active on some things, come up with a good idea, make yourself active, and guess what? You're going to have 100 people following you to do whatever you think you want to do.
There's a lot of great things going on. We have these fellowships. There's 90-plus fellowships around the world, and they range from flying to surfing to whiskey, dram, drinking, and we've been involved in that here in the Sandpoint Club.
Right.
And we're about to do a new one called the Chocolate Lovers Fellowship, and it's a worldwide deal.
So it's
service above self, but it's also fun. I mean, I joined Rotary because somebody told me I shouldn't join Rotary, so I decided I'd better join Rotary. And I stay in Rotary because of all the fun and the friendships. My best friends have become my Rotarians.
Well, Mel Dick and David Keyes, Sandpoint Rotary Club, I want to thank you both for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.